Happy New Year!
Happy New Year.
I say it every year, you should be used to it by now. We begin a new liturgical year as we enter into the Advent season. And I think, allow that to kind of really sink in. We're so kind of used to living the cultural milieu. We're so sucked into the culture that the yearly ins and outs of the church is almost an afterthought. New Year's Eve, to put it bluntly, New Year's Eve is more important for us than this beginning of a new year. It should be the other way around. Today we venture into a new beginning. The Advent season is a lovely, beautiful season, and I also say almost every year since I've been here, it's my favorite liturgical season. I love the Advent season because it permits me, or invites me, to slow down. The season of Advent is the season of silence. I think it's beautiful that, you know, New Year's Eve will be celebrated by loud commotion and music and lights and a big shining ball that's going to drop from the ceiling. And the church in her wisdom begins the liturgical New Year in silence. There's great depth and wisdom there. That before she celebrates, before she goes out and sings Christmas carols, she begins in silence. But I think for many of us, silence terrifies us. And I want to propose three reasons why I think this is the case. The first reason why I think silence terrifies us is because you and I are alien to our own selves. What do I mean by that? You and I live our lives most of the time on the periphery of our existence. Our culture constantly is beckoning us outwards. Do, do, do. There's always an event, always something to go act. Then there's the distraction of our iPhone, the TV, the radio, news, music, our iPods constantly around us. Think about 100 years ago, how long it would take to get from here to Grand Rapids. A couple hours on a horse and buggy. Today, I know I can get there in 35 minutes. Just speeding down that 31, right? Fast, instantly. Think of how much change then that has on me. 100 years ago, I would have 3 hours to travel, which created space of silence. No iPods in, no radio to turn on, just out there. Maybe hearing just the simple horse along the way. Today, that's all vanished. And because of that, because we're constantly being pulled out of ourselves, there's limited space to recollect. Literally, to recollect myself. I'm always living out here. I never return to my own self. And because of that, I think you and I find ourselves as very alien. We're not used to our own self. And so the moment that all the distractions are taken away, all the noise becomes silence, and suddenly I'm face to face with my own being, I become uncomfortable. I don't know who this being is. There was a speaker we had at Fireside Theology just a few weeks ago. He's a clinical psychologist. And he talked about identity and how in our time and culture, nobody knows who they are. If you think back even to the time of Mary, she was given in marriage at age 14. For us, that seems absurd. Like, what, a 14-year-old given in marriage? Well, yes. Because a 14-year-old back then knew who they were. The psychologist said, we live in a time where nobody knows or has developed a deep understanding of their own identity. Think about that. College students, they have no idea who they are. 30-year-olds, I'm 30, 34, we know no idea who we are. And go up the line. Why? No one spends the time with their own selves. Drawn outwards, we're alien to our own being, and so we're terrified by silence. The second reason why I think we're terrified by silence is once you begin to quiet everything around you, when you turn off that music, you turn off the TV, you get the iPhone and you put it in another room, you get away from all the distractions, suddenly the loudness that was out there, I hear that it is within me. Sure, all the loudness out there is put on mute, but now I can hear, maybe for the first time, the angst of my own soul. During seminary, we would do 2 biannual retreats. So 2 retreats annually, silent retreats. They were 7 days long. And I remember almost to the T, the first 3 days of those silent retreats are hell. And the reason being, as you enter into the silence, and you think, oh, this is going to be wonderful, everything is silent, I have time. But suddenly you get into the silence, you don't have your phone, no one's speaking around you, there's nothing to do. And what you begin to come face to face with is the loudness of your own interior life. The fears, the anxiety, the questions, all of that rises to the surface. And so the loudness of my own being, I finally can hear. And so I would rather run away to noise. Distract me from it. I don't want to deal with it. Get me out of here. The reason why we love the noise around us is because it distracts us from the noise in here. Silence terrifies me. The last reason why I think silence terrifies us is because when we're alone in silence, I think we believe you and I are alone. I've had a few conversations with people that have recently lost a loved one. And they'll say they'll just turn on the TV and keep it playing in the background. Why? So they don't feel alone. The silence wraps around them and for some reason has this kind of palpable feeling that no one else is there. But the fact of the matter is, when I press into silence, I'm pressing into the someone who has created all things. Mother Teresa beautifully said, "Silence is God's language." I want to share with you a quote from Romano Guardini. He was a theologian in the 20th century, 1900s. He writes, "Into this most intimate relationship, God and I, we do not come by speaking, only by silence. When we are recollected, our innermost soul is opened, and the sacred presence can manifest itself. We must learn that silence is beautiful, that it is not emptiness, but true and full of life." Silence is this beautiful encounter with God. When all things are stripped away, when I come back to my own being, I actually draw back to the place where here and now I'm being loved into existence. When I press into the silence, I'm not pressing into an empty void. I'm actually pressing into the very cause of everything. You heard in the readings for this weekend to stay awake, to remain attentive to the God who's always present. That you always be prepared because at an unknown hour, he's going to come. And so the readings this weekend invite us to an attentiveness, an awakeness. Well, how do we go there? By silence. It's through pressing into silence that things don't become boring. Things actually become more alive. When we would do these silent retreats, after the first 3 days of just dealing with the chaos of your own heart, hearing the loudness of your own being, the fears and anxieties within you, eventually, as you began to relate this with our Lord, press into Him who was before you, He would begin to untangle those knots. And you would eventually reach a point where the silence beyond you became the silence within you. And at that point, and everyone would begin to realize this, because we would have dinner together in silence around a table. Or you will go outside and everyone is doing these walks, and you will begin to realize that suddenly you'll see seminarians staring at a flower and just gazing at the petals. It looked like we all are tripping on LSD. Everyone just sucked in to whatever thing is before them. Silence didn't bore you. It suddenly awakened within you an attentiveness to everything around you. You suddenly smelt the air. You heard the wind. You saw, maybe for the first time, a single petal on a blooming flower. Silence, as you pressed into it, your heart pressed into the very being who was creating you and then creating everything around you, and suddenly you were awake. Let me share with you, it's kind of a longer quote, but I'm coming to it at the end, I promise. It's by Cardinal Robert Sarah, who's from Guinea, and he wrote a powerful book called The Power of Silence Against the Dictatorship of Noise. And I just want to share with you an excerpt from it. Postmodernity is an ongoing offense and aggression against the divine silence. From morning to evening, from evening to morning, silence no longer has any place at all. The noise tries to prevent God Himself from speaking. In this hell of noise, man disintegrates and is lost. He is broken up into countless worries, fantasies, and fears. In order to get out of these depressing tunnels, he desperately awaits noise so that it will bring him a few consolations. Noise is a deceptive, addictive, and false tranquilizer. The tragedy of our world is never better summed up than in the fury of senseless noise that stubbornly hates silence. This age detests the things that silence brings us to encounter: wonder and kneeling before God. How can anyone study in the midst of noise? How can you read in noise? How can you train your intellect in noise? How can you structure your thought and the contours of your interior being in noise? How can you be open to the mystery of God, to spiritual values, and to our human greatness in continual turmoil? Contemplative silence is a fragile little flame in the middle of a raging ocean. The fire of silence is weak because it is bothersome to a busy world. I invite you, maybe during this Advent season, to pick up this book and to reflect upon his words. Cardinal Sarah is a deep, deep thinker. But I think he paints beautifully just our contemplative experience. Go out these doors. And maybe the church remains the only haven which allows you to be quiet. And even then, many churches don't. Isn't it funny that even within our own liturgy, when the music is being played and there's a long silent pause, we all become fidgety? When's the next action going to take place? When's the priest going to say something? When am I going to stand up and do something? The liturgy itself is supposed to teach us, be a lesson of silence. There should be pregnant pauses in areas where my soul can press into not an empty abyss, but God. During this Advent season, I invite you to truly take time to press into silence. The world right now is celebrating Christmas. It already started celebrating Christmas about a month ago. The church, she's not celebrating Christmas. She's pressing into Advent. It's the lost season. And why? Because it's the season of silence, and nobody likes silence. I invite you just to listen to the wisdom of the church and to carve out true periods of silence. Maybe this is in your car. Just turn off the radio. It doesn't need to be on. Maybe this is 15 minutes in the morning. You don't need to read anything. You don't need to do anything. Just sit there and listen to silence. As you come before the Blessed Sacrament to receive our Lord, and you go to the pew and you have those moments of silence, make a resolution today, because I promise you, unless you do, you will never put it into practice. Make a resolution today, a very concrete resolution of what you will do to press into God this Advent season, which means pressing in to silence.
Let us stand. Together we boldly.